First, there was football. Then, there was fantasy football.
Now, there's fantasy football goon with Goon and Tooch.
Fantasy football goon with Goon and Tooch. Fantasy football goon with Goon and Tooch. Fantasy football goon with Goon and Tooch. Fantasy football goon with Goon and Tooch. Fantasy football goon.
Touchdown.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Goon Podcast. Fantasy Football Goon is a part of the Bears Barroom Radio Network. I'm your host, Joe Mandel, the Goon, and joining me as always is my co-host and good friend, John Santucci, who I call Tooch. Tooch, how's it going, bud?
I'm doing great. I'm ready to talk AFC East Fantasy Football Preview.
Yeah, lots of stuff going on in the AFC East, and we'll go through our typical format real quick. We'll cover the blue chip players, which are going to be fantasy studs. Talk about the good bets, who are guys that are probably going to do pretty well. Then we'll talk about sleepers, self-explanatory there, and rookies to watch, as well as defensive outlook and strength of schedule. So with that said, let's just hop right in. Let's talk about the Buffalo Bills, John. They've got a blue chip player by the name of LeSean McCoy, who has been very solid for the past few years.
Oh, he's been great. Last year, pretty darn good year. 1,138 yards, 6 touchdowns, 59 catches, 448 yards, and 2 touchdowns, so 8 touchdowns overall. He was the guy over there last year. But this year, you know, But Bills were a playoff team last year. They've undergone a lot of changes, Joe.
Yeah, they really have. The departure of Tyrod Taylor being one of the biggest, as well as a handful of other things. But let's quickly talk about LeSean McCoy's off-field drama so far this year. He was accused by his ex-girlfriend of hiring some people to go beat her up and rob her. So if this comes to fruition, this could turn into a suspension and possible jail sentence for McCoy if that's the case.
Yeah, it's definitely something to monitor, Joe. You know, both sides claiming, the other is lying, of course. We'll see what happens. Definitely, you know, come draft day, it's something to think about when you're thinking of drafting Shady McCoy.
Yeah, hopefully this all plays out before then, but if it doesn't, just something you got to have in the back of your mind during that draft. Obviously, McCoy is going to be a stud. We don't need to tell you to draft him. Talk about some of these good bets on the Buffalo Bills, John.
Well, that's the guy I had on my team last year. He's solid. Bills tight end, Charles Clay. Sometimes hampered by knee injuries. Last year, you know, partially injured season, missed half the season, probably 49 receptions, 558 yards and 4 touchdowns. Beginning of the year, the guy was great. He just had that knee, Joe. Aside from LeSean McCoy, you know, there's not much else besides Charles Clay.
Yeah, it's been some rough pickings out there in Buffalo. But aside from Charles Clay, they had an acquisition last year in Kelvin Benjamin, who was on and off healthy throughout the year, but this is a guy who has potential to be a stud. He had 48 catches last year for just under 700 yards and 3 scores, so he has a lot of potential. He's a big target, and, you know, A.J. McCarron might look his way often.
Yeah, it's a good call, Joe. Kelvin Benjamin was a great pickup for them last year, former first-round pick. So you're talking three guys, you know, they're fairly good. Tyrod Taylor is gone, Joe, and they're going to go with A.J. McCarron, but they do have a good field goal kicker, Steven Hauschka.
Yeah, I believe he left Seattle to go play for Buffalo, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, 29 field goals, 7 of 9 from 50-plus yards. They're not afraid to use him from long distance.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. So just keep in mind, he's going to have to fight the elements a little bit more in Buffalo, but still a very solid kicker, and get him towards the tail end of your draft. Moving on to the sleeper section, John, here's a guy last year who you and I were both feeling really good about that kind of dudded into nothing, and I'm talking about Zay Jones. Only 27 catches for 316 yards and 2 scores. Kid had a ton of potential, just couldn't translate that to the field last year.
He had some weird off-the-field issues, too. He was, like, naked and fighting some in a hallway, fighting his brother in a hallway of his condo or apartment.
Yeah, so, yeah.
something was definitely up there, Joe. Not sure what was going on, but this is another kind of thing to keep an eye on. Although, you know, supposedly all that's behind him. So, you know, this is a guy who's a pretty high draft pick. It all depends on if the Bills quarterback can get these guys we've been talking about, they can get them the ball.
Yeah, that's a great transition, because we're going to talk about A.J. McCarron as a sleeper here. He spent his, I think, last 3 years in the league buried behind the Red Rifle in Cincinnati. So he only had 66 yards passing and an interception last year, but here's a guy with a ton of potential, never able to get out from behind Andy Dalton. So now that he has an opportunity, I'd like to see what he can do, because he's got a great arm.
Right, and you know, we really don't know what to expect from him. I've seen him once beat the Bears in preseason. That's about all I know about the kid. But yeah, this is an offense, you know, that is kind of unpredictable. It's an unknown right now, Joe.
The next guy on this list is a guy that was a super sleeper last year, and he kind of emerged as a great bye week fill-in, and I'm talking about Jeremy Curley. He's had up and down the last few seasons. He was great PPR machine when he was on the Jets, and here he is on the Buffalo Bills now, and I'm talking 22 catches, 217 yards last year, and one score, but that's because his season was cut short by injury. But I think Jeremy Curley could be like a real sleeper here, because he's going to work out of that slot, and I imagine he's going to get a lot of targets, because McCarron's going to need to get the ball out of his hand fast.
Yeah, he's a smaller receiver, like a slot receiver, so he'll probably be the third receiver with Benjamin and Jones. So, you know, there's some sleeper potential there. Another guy in the sleeper section is the guy's going to be backing up LeSean McCoy, and that's a guy you always hear about, but, you know, he just really hasn't gotten the chance to be the number one gun. That's Chris Ivory.
Yeah, he was a stud back in his New Orleans days, and even when he was playing for the Jets. Mentioning what we talked about earlier about LeSean McCoy, if things go south there, Chris Ivory all of a sudden has a ton of fantasy appeal. So he's a guy that needs to be drafted regardless of the situation. And if he's there towards the tail end of your draft, that could be a great value pick.
Right, and that's why we have him listed in that sleeper section. You know, he's a end of the draft guy, and it was a potential waiver wire pickup. So we'll definitely be monitoring that LeSean McCoy and keeping Chris Ivory in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And clearly they had an offseason filled with, it's been a little quiet, but they had a very nice draft, and they picked up Josh Allen, fell all the way to Buffalo last year in college. 1,812 yards passing, 16 scores, 6 interceptions, but impressively enough, he had 200-plus yards rushing and 5 touchdowns while at Wyoming. So, very impressive numbers from Josh Allen. Do you think you're going to see him play at all this year, John?
Well, I think if it's a lost season, for sure he'll be playing. He was playing on Wyoming. It wasn't a great team last year. The year before, he had a really monster season, but this year, you know, some people took a step back, but you know, he was playing behind a bad offensive line, running for his life. Kid's got potential. He's got really strong arm and good mobility. If A.J. McCarron, you know, flames out, I wouldn't be surprised to see Josh Allen get in there right quick.
Yeah, I don't think that A.J. McCarron's going to have that long of a leash, so just keep an eye on that situation. Definitely in keeper and dynasty leagues, you're going to draft Josh Allen, because the kid's got a huge potential. So keep an eye on him there. And John, tell me a little bit about the Buffalo Bills defense.
Well, last year this was a very good defense, very good special teams as well. So they're definitely something to look at. Just the thing, if their offense isn't scoring any points and other teams are scoring points, it's going to be tough for that defense to be as good as they were last year. I think they might take a step back, although the schedule isn't that tough of a schedule. So I think they're draftable. Not sure if they will get drafted, but they're still a good defense, Joe.
Yeah, for me, they're a great bye week fill-in. So I agree with you. I don't think they're going to get drafted as a defense, but they're definitely a team to watch for matchups as we get to the middle to the end of the season.
A note for Bears Barroom Barflies, former Bears right tackle Jordan Mills is starting on the Bills offensive line. A nugget there.
Yeah, nice seeing those former Bears getting work elsewhere in the league. It's always nice to see. But let's move on to our next team here, and let's talk about the Miami Dolphins. Jay Cutler's gone. He's out into permanent retirement. And let's talk about their blue chip players. And it's a little strange to be saying this, John, but their blue chip player right now, after getting rid of a lot of guys, you got to be talking about Frank Gore. He finally departed from Indianapolis, and now he's playing in Miami. He had a surprisingly decent year last year, 961 yards, 3 touchdowns, 29 catches, 245 yards receiving, and 1 receiving score. So for a guy who's getting up there and Father Time's catching up with him, he's actually performing pretty well for his age.
Yeah, over the last 3 seasons, you know, he's just been really consistent, had a ton of yardage. He's been a good fantasy running back, you know, great number 2, great number 3, really good number 2. When I was looking over Miami Dolphins, you know, trying to find, you know, blue chip players, there wasn't a lot there, Joe. But, you know, Frank Gore, the offense is going to go through him. The guy behind him is someone also to watch, though, because he's pretty good, too. We'll talk about him in a little bit.
Yeah, Frank Gore, you know, a guy to keep an eye on, but he's the only guy that we can call a blue chip at the moment. But the next guy I'm going to talk about who's a good bet, it's probably a fair assumption that he's going to be a blue chip player next year, but for now I'm going to leave him as a good bet. I'm talking about Danny Amendola coming over from New England in the offseason in a very surprising move. Danny Amendola last year, 61 catches, 659 yards, and 2 touchdowns. While those numbers don't sound great on paper, a lot of that came on that playoff run for the Patriots. I believe he was injured a bit last year as well, so that's equally impressive, and I think he's going to be targeted heavily from Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, going to work out of the slot. Miami's got some good, they've got 3 pretty good wide receivers. You know, as we'll talk about these 3, and they're all, you know, the good bets here in Miami are all wide receivers. But yeah, Amendola's going to be working out of the slot, you know, and he's shifty. He has a knack for getting open, so he could be a good safety blanket for Ryan Tannehill. It's a good, you know, trying to kind of that Cole Beasley player.
Yeah, for sure. And our next good bet here is a guy that you've had on your squad a few times, John. I think he helped you win a championship a couple years ago. I'm talking about Kenny Stills. 58 catches last year, 847 yards, 6 scores from a guy that no one had on their radar at all last year with the Dolphins. So I think he's got room to grow on that season. He may be down a little bit, but Kenny Stills, for where you're going to have to draft him, is great value.
Yeah, I had to like do a double take with those numbers and realize, you know, he almost, you know, got to 900 yards and, you know, 6 touchdowns, nothing to sneeze at. Other guy starting across from him is going to be Devontae Parker, who 57 catches, 670 yards. Only 1 touch. I would like to see him get in the end zone a little bit more, but this is a guy, Devontae Parker, who people think is going to be a star, but he just hasn't broken out yet, Joe. I like Kenny Stills. What do you think about Devontae Parker?
You know, I thought Devontae Parker was going to break out last year. I thought he was going to have a huge season with Jay Cutler, and it didn't happen. But Tannehill's healthy. Parker's another year in the league. I think this is finally the year that he puts it all together. I still think he's going to be under 1,000 yards. I think it's going to be closer to 900, but I think his touchdown count's going to go way up. I'm expecting him to have about 6 or 7 scores. So for a guy that you can get relatively late in the draft, I like what you're going to get from Devontae Parker.
Yeah, I'm kind of waiting to see on him, but man, the potential's there, Joe. With those 3 weapons and some good running backs, and now they have a new tight end we'll talk about in a second, Ryan Tannehill may be a good streaming quarterback option or a decent backup option. What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, that's a great segue. We have him here on our sleeper list. I think Tannehill is going to be a great backup quarterback with the potential to be an everyday quarterback, but I'm not drafting him that way. I'm going to draft him later on and kind of use him off my bench. But what you got out of him a couple years ago in 2016, he had just under 3,000 yards passing, 19 touchdowns. Granted, he had 12 interceptions, but it's pretty impressive for, you know, having a year off in between. So you really got to see how he comes back from that injury and watch a lot of preseason with the Dolphins, because if he doesn't come out of the pipe, they might have to either make a move or utilize one of their backups.
Yeah, missed all of last season, so yeah, kind of we'll have to wait and see. Should be okay, though, Joe. With those weapons, though, he does have the potential, like you said. And then the other sleeper we had listed as a guy who could give Frank Gore a push, you know, is Kenyon Drake. And he had some pretty good numbers last year, Joe. I know you liked him last year, too.
Yeah, I picked him up because I had Jay Ajayi, and he got traded, and then I picked up Kenyon Drake as well, and both those guys were actually pretty decent for me going down the stretch towards the end of the season. Drake was very explosive considering he didn't have a full season as the main guy. You're talking 644 yards rushing, 3 scores, And most importantly, he had a lot of catches. 32 receptions, 239 yards receiving, and one receiving score. So I imagine he's still going to be a huge part of this offense. And I wouldn't be surprised if he overtakes Frank Gore for the starting position. Keep an eye on Kenyon Drake. He's a guy that you're going to want on your squad. And he's going to be a great value pick because he's going to go a lot later than he deserves to go. He's definitely a number two running back in my book. And then if you get him as a three, or you get him as a flex player on your team, you're doing really good.
Yeah, Kenyon Drake, super talented. A lot of potential, you know, like I said, to surpass Frank Gore. So I want to wait and see, but I don't think you'll be able to.
Right, exactly. But that lets us move into our rookies to watch section on the Dolphins. Who you got to watch on the Dolphins, John?
Well, like we said in our rookie preview show, they finally have a tight end on the Dolphins. Penn State rookie Mike Gesicki. 57 catches, 563 yards, 9 touchdowns last year at Penn State. So this is a good, fast tight end, good route runner, good hands, very athletic. So I like this kid. This could be, you know, like the Evan Engram of last year, Joe. We'll see. I mean, someone's going to take him 15th, 16th round and maybe get a top 10 tight end.
Yeah, I think you have to watch him in the preseason. If he does better than we all think, then I think he's going to go earlier. He is going to be a great tight end this year. I think he's going to fall somewhere in the top 15 when all things are said and done. So if you can get him late in your draft, that's a great pickup right there. Watch out for Mike Gesicki. And then I believe they have a rookie field goal kicker as well, John. They picked up Jason Sanders out of New Mexico. 10 of 15 for field goals. He had all of his extra points last year. So if you pick up a kicker in the late rounds, not too bad for a rookie. I think he's probably a wait-and-see bye-week replacement, but he could be someone to watch.
Yeah, I had a hard time finding info on him. So, yeah, definitely wait-and-see on Jason Sanders, rookie kicker, Dolphins.
The defense, they lost Ngamukong-Suh, and they're just an okay squad defensively, but I'd say their special teams is better than their defense. The strength of schedule, they're kind of somewhere in the middle of the pack. So they have a halfway hard, halfway easy schedule. So wait and see with them. I think they're a fill-in-the-blanks bye-week defense, John. What do you think about the Dolphins' defense?
You know, I liked them last year. This year I'm not as high on them, Joe. I tell you, I think the offense might struggle to put up some points. And, you know, in that case, the defense might be on the field a little bit longer and suffer a little bit. So, yeah, I'm going to wait and see on Miami. Maybe just a streaming defense, bye week fill-in. I don't think it's going to be one of the top defenses.
Yeah, agreed with you, John. And another little tidbit for Bears Barroom listeners, former Bears guard Josh Sitton is on the starting Finns offensive line. So another former Bear getting work in the NFL. Love to see that. And let's move into our other monster team in this division. And I'm talking about the New England Patriots, fresh off their Super Bowl loss. Obviously, they have a handful of blue-chip players, starting which is Tom Brady. Amazing quarterback, going to be definitely in the top three conversation of all time. Tom Brady last year, 4,577 yards passing, 32 touchdowns, and only 8 interceptions. That's absolutely incredible for a guy that a lot of people didn't take until the third, sometimes fourth round.
Yeah, he's the stud, man. Great numbers last year, Joe. I don't see him slowing down too much. I mean, he's still got a lot of weapons, as we'll see when we get in there. It's a different squad offensively than last year. But, you know, the other three teams in this division, Joe, they're not that good. You know how we feel about their running back squad? You never know who's going to be carrying the ball. We'll talk about that in a bit. But, like I said, there's got three not very good teams in this division and one really good team. So you know what that spells, Joe.
Yeah, I think Brady's going to be tossing the ball all over this year. And for that reason, I'm normally not comfortable saying this, but I think you're okay taking Brady in the second round or early in the third. I don't usually say that about quarterbacks, but Brady's worth every penny, especially with this division. His next blue chip player is his biggest target, and I'm talking about Rob Gronkowski. Last year, 69 catches, ironically, Gronk's favorite number, 69, 1,084 yards receiving and 8 scores. So the Gronk had a great year last year, and I look for him to build on that this season.
Yeah, great numbers. stayed healthy for the most part last season. So always an injury risk in my mind. But yeah, probably the number one tight end off the board this year after numbers like that. Joe, what do you think?
Yeah, I would say so. Gronk is probably going to go in the first round in most leagues. And if not, he's going to go in the second. So I definitely keep an eye on Rob Gronkowski. Definitely someone you want on your squad. And there's a lot of good bets on this New England team, given all the fantasy implications here. But I don't think there's a better kicker in football right now than Steven Gostkowski. 37 field goals last year. He hit all four of his kicks from beyond 50 yards. The guy is super impressive, and especially considering he kicks in New England, where there could be, you know, a handful of snowstorms and rainstorms and all the wind. So it's really impressive how good he's been. So he's definitely going to be the first kicker off the board.
37 field goals, 4 of 4 from 50 plus. If you're looking for a kicker that's going to, you know, be solid, help your squad in close games, that put up points, yeah, there's no one better, Joe. The guy is probably the top fantasy kicker. He plays on a great offense.
Yeah, he definitely does. And another guy who was Tom Brady's favorite target in 2016 is Julian Edelman, facing a 2-game suspension, which I believe he's going to serve now after appealing. He lost his appeal for performance-enhancing substance abuse. But in 2016, this is a guy who had almost 100 catches, 98 receptions, 1,106 yards receiving, and 3 scores. So if he can get anywhere near those numbers, this guy is going to be a fantasy steal. Realize you'll be without him for the first 2 games. But after that, I mean, he might be a fantasy steal this season.
Yeah, you'll miss him the first 2 games. So kind of wonder where he's going to get drafted. I'm going to say probably 4th round, 5th round, Joe. Sound about fair for Julian Edelman?
Yeah, I think he's probably going to go in the 5th round. And I think that's a steal for what you're going to get.
Yeah, coming off injury, he should be fine. I think Brady's favorite receiver. So, yeah, I like him. I will see. You know, I don't know how he'll do coming off injury, but I think by all accounts, the kid should be fine.
Yeah, he's a strong guy. I think he's going to come back strong. And tell me about the other 2 good bets we have here, John, on the Patriots.
Well, I had to go back and look at his numbers, but Rex Burkhead, you know, 8 touchdowns on the season, you know. Seemed like he was injured too, Joe.
Yeah, he was.
Had only 264 yards rushing. Caught 30 balls for 254 yards, but 8 touchdowns. So the guy was getting in the end zone. If he's healthy this year, I kind of, you know, I like him maybe as a bench player. As we talk about, they do have a rookie that you're high on. We'll talk about him and the rookies. That's probably going to end up being the lead dog there. But Rex Burkhead, someone to keep an eye on.
With Rex Burkhead comes James White, Super Bowl hero a few seasons ago. Only 171 yards rushing last year, but 56 catches for 429 yards and 3 scores through the air. So James White's a receiving threat out of that backfield, but I expect those numbers to go down this year.
Yeah, he's their third down back for sure. Of course, Deion Lewis is gone. So James White, you know, Deion Lewis was kind of like their third down back also, and Rex Burkhead as well. So, but James White always seems to be there, Joe. Again, it's a mixed bag for me with the New England running backs. And, I think the rookie is the one to watch, Joe.
Yeah, I think so too. And that takes us into our sleeper section here. And there's a handful of guys to talk about. And I don't know if anyone's more noteworthy to talk about right now than Chris Hogan, a guy who was a roller coaster ride last year, up and down, but 34 catches, 439 yards. But most impressively, he had 5 scores for a guy that people weren't really talking about. So if he can get anywhere near that, maybe a little bit more action, depending on what happens with some potential trades that are being talked about, we'll talk about in a few minutes here. But if Chris Hogan gets a little bit more opportunity, those numbers can go up and he might have 6-7 scores.
Yeah, he is a starter. He's a starting wide receiver. He's got Brady throwing in the ball. I had to go back and look. You know, 5 touchdowns kind of surprised me. You know, only 34 catches, though. Of course, he had some injury issues. You know, they've got a lot of receivers, you know, aside from Julian Edelman that have, you know, yet to emerge. You know, you got Hogan, then you got Jordan Matthews, who was injured a lot last year. Malcolm Mitchell, who I like, actually, but he had 4 touchdowns in 2016, but, you know, it missed all of last season.
Right.
And then they have, they also have Kenny Britt, who's bounced around, you know, team to team every year. Had a great year with the Rams a couple seasons ago. Last year didn't do much bouncing between Cleveland and New England. So this is a squad I think you have to wait and see on, Joe. And, you know, Julian Edelman probably your best bet, like we said.
Yeah, I think so too. And all those receivers you talked about, Jordan Matthews, Malcolm Mitchell, Kenny Britt, they all fall in our sleeper section here. But I wanted to bring up that there's some rumblings going around that the Patriots are looking to trade Malcolm Mitchell. Looks like they're putting a package together, so he might get traded in the next couple days. If that's the case, Chris Hogan's value goes up, and even Jordan Matthews, depending on how his rapport goes with Tom Brady. So keep an eye on that, but I think Malcolm Mitchell is going to be getting traded here very shortly.
Yeah, it's a great point. If that rumor is true, yep, the rest of the guys' value is going to go up. And if anybody can get a lot of mileage out of a player, it's Bill Belichick. So if anybody can get a mileage out of Kenny Britt, Bill Belichick's the guy. So yeah, something to keep an eye on, Joe.
Yeah, definitely. And the last guy we got here on the sleeper section is Jeremy Hill, coming over from Cincinnati. Injury-plagued season last year, only 116 yards rushing, 4 catches for 16 yards, didn't score a single touchdown. But he has a pedigree of being able to score and be a workhorse guy. So if he can get his health back, he's just another threat in this log-jammed New England backfield.
It could be a LeGarrette Blount type goal line back.
Yeah.
But again, you know, he's in a crowded backfield, running back room there, Joe.
Yeah, he really is. And that's a great segue into our rookies to watch. A rookie I'm really high on, Sony Michel. 1,227 yards rushing last year, 16 touchdowns, 9 catches, and 96 yards receiving with 1 receiving score. And that's while he was playing at Georgia. I think he's going to fit really well on this team, and I just don't know how Bill Belichick is going to use him.
Well, I think if he shows anything like he showed at Georgia, you know, it's his job to lose Joe. You know, 1,200 yards, 16 touchdowns. Just think about if Tom Brady and Bill Belichick get a good running game. Man, they're going to be another Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, I think so too. So definitely a kid you got to draft. Dynasty leagues, keeper leagues, you got to draft him. And regular leagues, I imagine he's probably going to go 10th, maybe 11th round, because he's got a lot of upside.
Yeah, I like it. I think, we don't know where he's going to go. I'm thinking mid-round pick, you know, 8th, 9th round, Joe, maybe 10th.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the right ballpark. I think the preseason will tell us exactly where he's going to go.
Yeah,
they have a very good defense in New England. They were excellent last year. They had a bit of a rough start, but they calmed down and were very good for the majority of the season. Their special teams are also fantastic. Number 3 overall in the league, so that's really good to see. They're going to be a defense that's going to get drafted very high. If you want the New England defense, you're probably going to have to take them relatively early. You know, John and I don't like taking defenses too early, but if you can get them in the last couple rounds or maybe, you know, last 3 rounds, that would be great, but they'll probably go before then. And their schedule is actually fairly easy. I think they have the number 22 easiest schedule in the league. So I look for New England to win a boatload of games again, and would not be shocked if they could win 13 plus games. I know that sounds a bit crazy, but this division is not very good.
Yeah, like I said, but not very good. They got 6 games against, you know, 3 bad offenses. So another thing to keep in mind is that they lost their defensive coordinator. So Matt Patricia now head coach of the Lions. That's just another thing to keep in mind. But I think they'll still be fine. It's definitely a draftable defense, Joe. The schedule is easy.
Agreed with you. Agreed with you. And that takes us to our last team. And we're talking about the New York Jets. Not a fantasy explosion team like they were back in about 10 years ago, but they still have a few guys worth keeping an eye on. John, why don't you talk about the blue chip player for the New York Jets?
Well, it was hard finding one, I tell you, and I hesitate to put him up there, but they have a new running back. It's Isaiah Crowell, who everyone thought was going to be, you know, really good last year. Did not do so well in Cleveland. He had 853 yards, 2 touchdowns, caught 28 balls, didn't score on the reception, but By all accounts, he'll be carrying the rock in New York. They still have Bilal Powell and Elijah McGuire, so something to watch on. We'll talk about those guys in a little bit. But, you know, I'm not excited about this Jets offense, Joe. It just hit their transition.
Yeah, it's a bit of a dud, but there was a bright spot last year, and he's one of our good bets. I'm talking about wide receiver Robbie Anderson. He's a guy who came out of nowhere last season for 63 catches, 941 yards, and 7 touchdowns. So he is the guy in New York, and I really think he could have similar numbers. I expect his touchdown count to go down, but I still think he'll be in the same area around receptions and yardage. So in PPR leagues, definitely grab Robbie Anderson. He's going to be awesome. The next guy on the list, John, is a guy that has been fairly consistent as well, and I'm talking about Jermaine Kearse. Last year had very similar numbers to Robbie Anderson, 65 catches, 810 yards, and 5 scores. So these two guys are worth drafting. Robbie Anderson is going to go a lot earlier than Jermaine Kearse, but they have similar fantasy value in my eyes, and I think they are both an asset.
Yeah, Jermaine Kearse was lighting it up early, you know, after he was traded from Seattle. I had to go back and look at these guys' numbers, you know, 60-some catches. They're getting four, you know, it's like 4 catches a game. And, you know, Anderson had 7 touchdowns. Kearse had 5, you know. Anderson almost hit 1,000 yards. Yeah, he was one of my targets last year. Kind of got off to a slow start. But towards the end of the year, you know, people had him and they were starting him. So, yeah, they do have a good good wide receiver core. We'll talk about one of the other wide receivers who was injured last year in the sleeper section, Joe.
Yeah, they do have a good receiving core. And they also have a good kicker. They have Chandler Catanzaro, 25 field goals last year, 2 of 2 from beyond 50. So he's an impressive guy. He's going to be a guy you're going to get off of waivers for a bye week replacement, but just one guy you can grab if you need him. And then, of course, the last good bet here I'm talking about is Josh McCown at quarterback. The guy is the definition of solid. He fought injury last year, but he's been very good over the course of his career. Bit of a journeyman, but 2,926 yards last year, 18 scores and 9 interceptions. But keep in mind, he was injured for a while and he was getting knocked around pretty good. So with that offensive line, that's pretty impressive. And he's definitely a good guy to take a flyer on during a bye week.
Yeah, he's a great streaming quarterback. You know, he seems to light it up just, you know, with just the right matchup. Had almost 3,000 yards. Of course, didn't start, you know, every game last season, but you know, they have some quarterback. I tried to find a quarterback, and they drafted one too, didn't they, Joe?
Yeah, they did.
They drafted Sam Darnold.
Yes, they did.
Is that right? Okay, so Sam Darnold is waiting in the wings. He's a rookie to keep an eye on. If you know, Josh McCown goes down, I don't think he's draftable yet, Joe, unless McCown goes down before the season starts.
Yeah, Sam Darnold's a guy that you're going to grab in keeper and dynasty leagues, but besides that, he's a wait and see. I don't think they have any reason to toss him in there quite yet. I think McCown can mentor him and give him all he needs to be successful in this league. So I think Darnold's going to sit on the sidelines, but we'll wait and see on that front. But moving into our sleeper section, John, is a running back that you've been high on the last couple of years, and you rode him to a lot of good games and to a lot of duds, and I'm talking about Bilal Powell. Why don't you talk a little bit about your guy?
Man, 2 years ago he was great. Had, you know, caught the ball as a PPR stud. Had long, you know, touchdowns. Had 700 yards and 5 touchdowns last year. You know, he was sharing time back there with Matt Forte and Elijah McGuire and whoever else they were trying to run back there. So now he does have a bit of a high contract, so we'll have to watch and see. Maybe he gets released before the season starts, gets cut. Maybe someone picks him up, or the Jets want to sign him to a veteran minimum after he's cut, you know, misses a game or two. But, yeah, Bilal Powell definitely in the sleeper section now. I would say if they announced him as the starter, you know, didn't sign Isaiah Crowell, I'd say he'd be a bit of a better guy. Just seems to, you know, be an every other game player, Joe, and you never seem to start him either. I never seem to start him on the right week.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm with you, man. He's one of those guys that's incredibly inconsistent. So maybe a change of scenery would be good for him, but we'll have to wait and see on that front. Another guy we got here as a sleeper is Quincy Enunwa. He kind of exploded onto the scene after having a very surprising season. And I'm talking about 58 catches, 857 yards, and four scores. I know that was in 2016. I believe he was out for the majority of last year with injury. But if he's fully healthy, he's going to be a threat.
Missed all of last season. He's the third wide receiver with Anderson and Curse, which gives him three pretty good receivers. The other guy in the sleeper section is a guy that a lot of people are high on, which is why people are saying Bilal Powell might be expendable. That's Elijah McGuire. Good runner, good receiver too, receiving back. So he might be the guy they keep over Powell. Maybe they keep all three. I don't know. This is a running back situation to monitor in the preseason, Joe.
Yeah, for sure. He's one of those guys that's going to be on your radar, and you just have to see what happens with Powell, and then you'll move forward. Our second year player to watch here is tight end Jordan Leggett. I believe he was injured and out most of the season last year, John, but his 2016 year at Clemson, he had 46 catches, 736 yards, and seven scores. So this is a big, tall guy that's going to be a great target for Josh McCown. So I like what Leggett brings to the table, and if he's healthy, he could be a great tight end to play.
Yeah, he's built like Evan Engram too. Austin Seferian Jenkins is gone. So Leggett is the starter, at least for this open of the season. He's someone to monitor again in the preseason, but yeah, he's a good receiving tight end. So, it could be a very sneaky pick. It could be a sleeper pick, Joe. Maybe if you miss out on some tight ends, you're looking at the end of the draft. Jordan Leggett is a starting tight end, so maybe he fits on your bench as a second tight end and pays off.
We both really like him, so definitely a guy you want to get on your squad. If you can get him as tight end depth, and then you have two good tight ends, could be a guy you trade later on, could be a guy you end up starting over a guy you draft early on, but just wait and see with him, but I think it's worth the risk. And John, why don't you tell us a little bit about the defensive outlook for the New York Jets?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just an okay or average defense. Not sure they're draftable, especially with a slow offense, maybe not as good of an offensive powerhouse, where teams are playing from behind. So more of a wait and see for me, Joe. They have average special teams too. They do have an easy schedule, though, 25th hardest, so a fairly easy schedule. To me, it's still a streaming matchup defense or bye week defense.
Yeah, I agree with you, man, and you just have to match and see what happens throughout the season. But playing against the Patriots, twice a year, I don't like your fantasy defense, so probably not going to want them on my squad, but they're a wait-and-see kind of team. With that said, we made our way all the way through the division. We appreciate all you guys listening and tuning into the Fantasy Football Goon podcast. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at FFBGoon. Like us on Facebook and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, YouTube, and then make sure you follow us on Instagram as well. And then also check out our friends at Bears Barroom. They have some great Bears content and some really good stuff, so check them out. John, thanks as always for joining me, man. Where can everyone find you on Twitter?
Well, find me on Twitter at Santucci_John. And then, of course, you and I, Fantasy Football Goon and Box Office Bros on Bears Barroom Radio Network. And looking forward to, where are we next time, Joe? NFC South?
Yes, we are doing the NFC South next. So
excellent.
Lots of exciting stuff going on in that division as well as we get closer to draft day. But thank you guys for tuning in. God bless America. God bless football. And let's kick some ass.